Good morning. It's time to begin our worship. Please silence your cell phones. Prepare for worship while you enjoy the prelude.
Thank you.
Good morning again. Who wanted this snow? I was thinking rain. I think we overshot it a little. But please register your attendance on the registration sheets in the pews. Pass the sheets to others. Make sure you know who's sitting with you. Put them at the center aisle when you're done. Make sure to look through the calendar of events in your bulletin and the announcements. Some things to note are today's World Communion Sunday, celebrated by numerous Christians on the first Sunday of October to promote Christian unity. There's an explanation of it in your announcements. The associate minister process. Mark your calendars. After worship next Sunday, there will be a potluck October 14th after the 10:10 service. The associate minister team will make some announcements to the congregation. It'd be a good discussion to be involved in. Blessing of the pets will be October 14th at 4 p.m. on the front lawn. In case of poor weather, which it could be, we'll move it inside. It's cold and flu season. Make sure that you clean up your pews when you leave. Take your Kleenexes and everything with you. All Saints Sunday will be Sunday, November 14th. If someone who passed away in the past 12 months you'd like recognized during the reading of the names, please turn that information into the church office by October 24th. Be sure to include the name, date and year of birth, and date and year of death. You can also place a card in the offering plate. Let's see. Peg Jackson requests that when you're traveling, you get the little motel soaps and shampoos. Make sure you keep them. And she would appreciate you donating them. I think she's running low. Darlene Bishop has three extra tickets to the play tonight that Charles is in. And I, pardon? The matinee, 2 o'clock, that Charles is in. I also think Deb Mestis has a ticket that she needs to get rid of, but she wants to donate these to anyone who can use them. So if you can make it to the play today at 2 o'clock, there's three here, and I think Deb has one. So if I remember my third grade math, that's 4. Okay. Or that's probably first grade math now. Mike has some things he would like to talk about for the pumpkin patch.
Well, I'll say it again. Good morning. I want to give a big shout out to all the congregation that helped on Wednesday unloading 2,400 pumpkins. That's not counting the little ones. That's the ones that are bigger, like 6 or 8 inches or bigger. We do have three, maybe four spots still that we're looking for people to sell. Check out on the in the foyer, there's a sign-up sheet. If you can fill one of those dates, it would be awesome. Also, we need people that we can get a hold of at short notice to cover the pumpkins. We're going to cover the pumpkins this afternoon. We probably won't sell to 7 o'clock or even 4 o'clock because if it looks like it is out now, nobody's going to come to buy pumpkins, most likely. And for the next 5 days, the temperature stays right down below or just hovering above 32 degrees. So we're going to cover them today. We may not sell pumpkins tomorrow because it's... I really hate to uncover them and then recover them 3 hours later. And they may stay covered all this week because of the temperatures and the snow. So 2 years ago, we were lucky. We only had to cover the pumpkins four times, once every week. We're going to make up for that this year, I can tell. So with that, if you can help cover pumpkins this afternoon, see me out in the foyer. I'll get a phone number or something where I can get a hold of you for a time. We threw that in the garbage. No. Our IT guy yesterday was with the Boy Scouts up in Wind River Canyon. So our PayPal system didn't work very well. We got it working about three or four times, but it crashed three or four times also. So we went back to the old-fashioned way with paper and pencil. And that seemed to work the best. So, but we'll get it squared away and get it working again. Thank you.
Keith, I believe you had a message.
Good morning, everyone. I have a couple announcements from the Mission Commission today. There's going to be a grand opening at the new Park Street Center, the new mission. You and your guests are invited to join Brad Hopkins and special guest Governor Matt Mead at the grand opening and ribbon cutting for the Park Street Center. This is going to happen Tuesday, October 9th at 10 a.m. And you have to RSVP, and I'm going to leave this out on the bulletin board if anybody is interested in going. The Park Street Center is uniquely designed as a one-stop service location to meet the needs of our guests, including emergency food and shelter, 90-day residential program, education, and case management. We provide radical hospitality with the goal of helping our guests return to society as productive citizens. Also, another announcement is on November 19th, we're doing the Giving Thanks, which is going to be the dinners for people that would like a Thanksgiving dinner on November 19th. So we are taking either monetary donations or actual turkeys. And if you'd like to contribute either one, just see Debbie or I and we'll get it taken care of. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Very good. Well, let's all stand and greet those around us, then we'll continue our worship by singing All People That on Earth Do Dwell, verses 1, 2, and 4 on page 18. Please join me in the call to worship, or with the responsive reading that's printed in your bulletin. May God prosper you.
May your days be long and your nights serene.
May your friendships honor you and your family love you.
May you eat at your table.
And may you be gathered into God's embrace.
With a smile.
Please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, may you mold us and use us so that we may be reformed in such a way that our lives will never be the same. Infuse a sense of mystery that keeps us wanting more. Fill this room with your presence, we ask in your name. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May be seated. If you would, please open your Chalice Hymnal to page 442. If you were here for Fall Feast, our regional assembly, the song will be familiar to you. We're going to sing, We Are Walking in the Light of God. Because it's World Communion Sunday, we're actually going to attempt singing in a couple different languages. So let's practice. I think you've probably got the English down just fine. We'll sing English first so we know what we're saying. And then we will sing Zulu. This hymn originally comes from South Africa. So I'd invite you to repeat after me. Siyahamba. Kukakwinkwinkos. That is all you have to say over and over. So we'll practice again. Siya hamba. Kukanwinkwinkos. And since I'm not South African, I'm not going to be offended if you don't do it perfectly, because I'm probably not. So it's all good. It'll be a joyful noise. Then we'll attempt to sing in Spanish. Again, repeat after me. Caminando.
Caminando.
En la luz de Dios. And if worse comes to worse, you can just keep singing in English and it'll be fine. Arlen, would you lead us? We are walking in the light of God. 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 We are walking, we are walking, ooh, we are walking in light of God. We are walking in the light of God. Siya hamba kukanwinkwinkos. Siya hamba kukanwinkwinkos. Siya hamba kukanwinkwinkos. Ya hamba hamba siya hamba. Siya hamba kukanwinkwinkos. Caminando in la luz de Dios. Caminando in la luz de Dios. Caminando in la luz de Dios. Caminando en la luz de Dios. Caminando. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I would invite our children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. We're going to stand today right around the table because we have a special table this morning we're going to look at and talk about. Mackenzie's bringing Grandpa today instead of Dad. Sorry, Nick, you've been outclassed. Can you all see this pretty tablecloth? It's actually a fuzzy blanket. If you want to feel it, you can feel its fleece. It's very soft. Martha Wallace made that for me, and it's made with squares left from all the blankets, well, not all the blankets, but from some of the blankets of our fleece blanket ministry. Look at all the different colors. There's yellow and pink and blue, green and red, white, black. You like that one?
Yeah, I like the in-the-middle design.
You like that design?
I like this.
You like the pink square?
I like that one.
You like the pink stripey one? What about you? Which one do you like? The blue check?
Me too.
They're all different and all pretty. You know, sometimes you like that one, the pink one too. Sometimes we have a favorite color because it makes us happy. I wonder, do you think God has a favorite color? What do you think?
I think it's yellow because he's in heaven.
You think it's yellow because he's in heaven and the sun is bright yellow. What do you think, Willow?
I think it's yellow too.
You think it's yellow too? You know, I wonder, God might not even have a favorite color because God made every color there is. God made the green trees and the green grass. God made the blue sky. God made the black night. God made the pink and the purple and the rose that we see at sunset and sunrise. Yes, ma'am.
Even a rainbow.
God made the rainbow that has every color. So I think maybe God's favorite color might be the whole rainbow, every color in the world. You know, God even made people different colors. We have different colored eyes and different colored hair and different colored skin. Do you think God has a favorite color for people? You both have brown eyes. Do you think God has a favorite? Do you think God likes brown eyes better than blue eyes?
No?
You and I both have blue eyes. He likes every color in the rainbow, and he likes every color in the rainbow of people. Light and dark and green eyes and blue eyes and brown eyes and gold eyes. God loves every color, and God loves every one of us because he's made us. Today is World Communion Sunday. And every Sunday, while you all are in children's church or in Sunday school, we have communion. We share bread and juice as a reminder of how much God loves us. Well, today for World Communion Sunday, we're sharing all different flavors of bread. There's dark bread and light bread. There's flat bread and raised bread. There's even Oreo cookies up here. Willow likes some Oreos. And there's different kinds of juice today. There's grape juice and peach and apple, and there's almond milk. I guess maybe that goes with the cookies.
I'm not sure if it does.
You're not sure if it does? When the grown-ups come forward for communion, they'll be able to choose the kind of bread that they want, and they can dip it in any of the cups that they want to partake communion. Now, usually with our littlest members, you all don't have communion until after you've been baptized. But this morning, because it's a special day for World Communion Sunday, I thought perhaps each one of you might want to pick one piece of bread. Would you like to have a piece of bread that reminds you of God's love in Jesus? It can be a cookie. It can be a piece of bread. So each one of you can stand up and take one piece of bread and just hold it for just a minute. Just hold it. Pick the piece you want. Just take one little piece. You decide. Surprise, Oreos are popular. Oreos are definitely popular. Yeah. I'm going to take a piece of bread, too. I'm going to have one piece of bread. You have an Oreo. Do you want a piece of bread or you want to wait? Okay. When we share communion, the bread reminds us of Jesus' body. The bread reminds us of how much God loves us. So this morning, as you taste this piece of bread, I want you to think about how much God loves you. You can go ahead and have your bread. Yummy. Okay. Well, we're going to have a prayer together, and then you all can go to children's church or Sunday school. So let's hold hands, and we'll pray together. There we go. Do you want to hold hands, Mackenzie? Okay, we'll hold hands. Here we go. Let us pray. O God, who loves every child in the world, we thank you for all the colors of the rainbow, all the flavors of bread, all the joy of life that you give. Bless us on this World Communion Sunday to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for coming. As our children leave for the special programs prepared for them to worship in their own way, I'd like to draw your attention to the prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. As we lift up these prayers, you're encouraged to take a pew card from the rack in front of you and pray for someone who needs to know that we're lifting them in worship today. You can place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card chart this morning is for Betty Axworthy. It is challenging for her to be out very often because of health and age. I'd encourage you just to write a note to Betty to let her know you're thinking about her, praying for her health, and that she is missed here at church. We continue to pray for Billy Triplett as he struggles with cancer and declining health. We pray for Ruth Jones recovering from a fall, for Rita Peterson's daughter, Frankie, and for her daughter-in-law, Shirley Morrison. Shirley is facing possible back surgery. If she has the surgery, it would be a very extensive operation, and she has significant other health issues that make the anesthesia problematic. So prayers of wisdom for Shirley and her doctors as they consider this possible surgery. Kathy Malloy's sister, Caroline, is back in the hospital with a very bad case of pneumonia. Please pray for her healing. We continue to lift prayers for those affected by storms of different kinds. We pray for people in Indonesia recovering from a severe earthquake and devastating tsunami. We pray for those affected by wildfires and storms across the U.S. and around the world. During our prayer time this morning, we are lifting up Eleazar Fernandez, who serves as a missionary in the Philippines. But also today, in observance of World Communion Sunday, we are praying for all of the mission co-workers who share in global ministries with the Disciples of Christ and the United Church of Christ. After you come forward for communion today, on the side tables at the front of the sanctuary, you'll find pictures of current missionaries who are serving in different places around the world. If you choose to do so, you're invited to take one of those pictures home with you. Put it in your Bible or your billfold someplace where you'll see it, and pray for that person and the work that they do in the week ahead. The beautiful flowers in front of us this morning are in memory of Wanda Leeling, whose service was held here on Friday. Our regional prayer partners are the members of First Christian Church in Fort Morgan, Colorado. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary if you'd like to sign and send greetings to them. And they are currently without a pastor. They're in the pastoral search process. So prayers for them as they seek future leadership. Are there others today that we want to add to this list, joys or concerns we need to share? Michelle. Amber French will celebrate her birthday on Wednesday. I know the choir will sing to her Wednesday night, but why don't we sing to her today? Yay! Happy birthday. You could give Michelle a hard time later. Pam.
My son, Casey Regan, he's dealing with skin cancer right now. He has to have a spot removed on his neck on Halloween, and we're waiting on biopsy on 3 other spots on his face. So just prayers that those come back.
Prayers for Casey Regan as he struggles with cancer biopsies. Madison.
Prayers for a new job. I've put in several applications and unfortunately haven't heard anything, but there's still many applications to go, so hopefully I can come across a much better job.
Prayers for Madison and for all of those who are looking for work. Becky. It will be a long flight home from China with little Levi. If anyone has ever traveled internationally with a 5-year-old you just met, be sure and talk to Phil and Becky. That's a pretty unique situation to need some prayer support. I know we have other families in the church who've adopted and gone through this process, so our prayers are with you. We are so excited that you have a travel date on November 1st and a gotcha date on November 4th. Are there others today? Dennis.
I'll do a new joy for the door down in the kitchen.
Amen. We are rejoicing that the kitchen will be dry and warm as well as sunny. And her name is Beth.
Yvette.
Prayers for Yvette, who's been diagnosed with breast cancer. Charles.
Prayers and thanksgiving for this conversation, support of the play, me being in it, and also all the kids that are there. We appreciate you greatly, and there are still seats available. So, thank you.
A wonderful word of thanksgiving to the church. This congregation is always so supportive of kids if they're in performances or selling popcorn. And it's nice that you're also supportive of big kids when they get to play. Let us turn to the Lord now in a time of shared silence as we lift these joys and concerns. O God of all people, your name is praised in every tongue. Lord, we rejoice in the certainty of your love for us, young and old alike. Holy One, you love people of every land, tribe, culture, nation. There is no one on earth who is beyond your love. Lord, as Christians, we rejoice in the intimate relationship we can have with you through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we share different flavors of bread this day to speak to us of his broken body, Lord, we lift to you an offering of praise for the church universal. Lord, this day we pray for missionaries who work around the globe. We pray for Eleazar Fernandez in the Philippines. We pray for church leaders near and far, for other churches in our own community, and for disciple partners across our region, including the members of First Christian Church in Fort Morgan. We pray, O God, for congregations who are seeking to discern your call for future leaders. We pray for those who are looking for a new pastor to lead them. And we ask for your blessing upon our congregation in the conversation we'll have next Sunday as we strive to discern your will, Lord, whether or not to call an associate minister. Oh God, we give thanks for the blessings of life, for joys named and shared in this community, joys great and small. We give thanks for the simple gift of a new kitchen door, for the effort it took to have that in place, and the blessing it is now to our facility as well as those who come here. Lord, we rejoice with Amber as she celebrates a birthday this week. And we continue to pray, O God, for her healing. We're thankful that she has been able to return back to work part-time. And Lord, the day is returning soon when she needs to work full-time, and yet she does not feel ready. Oh God, we pray for full healing for our friend and sister in Christ, Amber. We rejoice, oh God, with the Ostranders at the journey ahead of them. We pray for a safe flight on November 1st as they travel all the way to China. And we pray, Lord, for your spirit of peace and blessing to surround them as they meet their son, Levi. Oh God, we pray for this young child whose period of adjustment will be challenging, learning a new language, living in a new country, traveling farther than he could possibly imagine. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of love that you have already placed in the hearts of Phil and Becky. And we pray that little Levi, with time, will find love of his own growing to match that of his new parents. Bless their union and their travel. Lord, we pray for those who need physical healing. We pray for those who need healing of all kinds, healing for broken relationships, healing of the hope of jobs for the jobless, healing of comfort and courage. We ask you to watch over Caroline as she struggles with pneumonia. Be with Frankie and Shirley and Rita as she cares for them. Lord, we ask you to watch over Casey Regan as he has cancer biopsies done this week. We pray for good news from the tests, that many will come back negative and those that are positive can be treated quickly. Lord, we ask you to watch over Yvette as she struggles with breast cancer. May her treatments be effective. May her spirit be in peace as she knows you are watching over her. Lord, we give thanks for the life of Wanda Leeling, a dearly loved member of our congregation whose journey to heaven we celebrated this week. Lord, we pray for those who will miss her most, for her CWF friends in quilting and those who share in the funeral meals that she led so faithfully for so many years, for her family, her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and a great-great-grandchild soon to be born. Oh Lord, bless all of the Leelings who loved Wanda so dearly. Surround them with your peace. We pray for peace as well for the people of Indonesia, for those who live in Palu who are struggling to recover from a devastating earthquake and tsunami, for families facing grief, for communities rebuilding, and for those who strive to help them. Lord, we pray for your presence, your grace, and your mercy. All these prayers we bring to you, Holy One, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name is praised in every tongue. We thank you, God, for the gift of Jesu Christo, of Jesus. Amen.
Our scripture today is Mark 9, 33 through 37. You may find it in the Pew Bible in the New Testament section, page 45. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me, not me, but the one who sent me." John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon be able afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever's not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. And if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell."
In Mark 9, we hear of the disciples arguing on the road to Capernaum. And then Jesus brings a little child and places it among them. Taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." We continue reading from Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that gift of music today. What a wonderful message for us to hear this morning. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come before you as little children, eager to enter into the kingdom of your love. Teach us this day. Bless us with wisdom and understanding that we might come closer to you through Christ. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus called the little children to him. But when they came, the disciples tried to push them away. You see, in that day and age, children were not valued in the same way that they are today. You've heard the expression, "Children should be seen and not heard. Children should not speak until spoken to." Perhaps some of you grew up in a generation when those maxims were practiced. Well, in ancient biblical times, not only did they not want to hear the kids, they didn't even want to see them. Children, culturally, were really considered to be property. They were sort of extra slaves for their parents. And as such, they had no right to bother someone as important as the rabbi from Nazareth, the teacher known as Jesus. So when people brought the little children to him, the disciples were just following the cultural norms of the day. No, get those kids out of here. Even today, there may be one or two congregations in the world where if kids get rowdy in worship, some of the grown-ups would just as soon have those kids sent away. After all, it's distracting from the worship of the Lord. But in this text from Mark, we learn that the presence of children is a gift, a blessing a joy. It's a privilege to serve a congregation that delights in the presence of children of all ages. And in them, we learn about the kingdom of God. Through their joy and delight, we are reminded to take joy and delight in the love of the Lord. Well, in the day of Jesus, children were viewed not as valuable members of society. Sure, they were loved by their parents, but they weren't even considered full citizens, real people, until they had grown for a while. And social status and standing was very important in that day and age, perhaps as it is now for some still. Jesus lived in a time where social castes were very clearly delineated. There was a significant difference between, for example, being a Roman citizen and being a slave. Your property rights were completely different. Your privileges in society were radically different. In that cultural context, knowing who you were and where you belonged was awfully important. And if you could get close to someone who had power or prestige, if you could be close to someone who was important, it raised your own standing. In that context, Jesus' friends were discussing with one another who got to be closest to the Lord, who was the most important, who would be able to sit at the right hand of Jesus on his throne in the kingdom of heaven. Who would be literally his right-hand man? The disciples are traveling. They've been teaching and preaching, listening to Jesus, watching him perform miracles, and they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" Apparently, it wasn't just a casual conversation, but got a little bit heated. "I'm Jesus' favorite." "No, I am. I've got more skill than you. I'm better." You can kind of picture Judas saying, "Well, I handle the money. Y'all couldn't afford this trip without me." And someone else saying, "Well, I've got the boat that's going to get us across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus can't be without me." And the fishermen pipe up saying, "He called us first." The conversation evolved to such an extent that though Jesus apparently was not right next to them, he knew they were talking with one another. So Jesus asks, "What were you arguing about?" At that point, the apostles are a little embarrassed, perhaps a little ashamed. In Mark's telling, they were silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12. Sort of a powwow moment. Jesus said, "Everybody at the table, let's sort this out." Surely at that moment, maybe one or two apostles thought, "He'll solve the problem for us. He's going to point who's in charge, who gets to be the president of this merry band, who is the chair of the apostle board." Maybe they were elbowing one another, hoping that their name would be called. And instead, Jesus called a little child to come and be with them. Jesus picked someone who they hadn't even noticed was around, someone of no significance or importance at all. Jesus called someone who, in their eyes, wasn't even a real person. Jesus placed this little child before them and told them that this is who they needed to be like. "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." You'd think that they would have paid attention and learned it, gotten the message. Okay, we'll stop arguing about who's the greatest. Jesus likes kids. Take that note to self. But just a chapter later in Mark 10, we have the incident where people are bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them and bless them. And the disciples spoke sternly to those parents and grandparents. Can you imagine the conversation? Don't waste the teacher's time. Get those snotty-nosed kids out of here. They may not have been very polite about it. They were trying to shovel the children away, but when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." We heard a few extra verses in between these texts, verses that are hard and complicated to understand. But among them is this reminder, "Truly, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." Another gospel writer records that same message by saying, "Whoever gives a cup of water to one of these little ones in my name will receive the reward of heaven." So from this text in the Gospel of Mark, we are led to think that Jesus changes the order of society. Jesus comes to a time and a place where children are not valued, and he gives them a place of importance and prominence. Well, in our day and age, I think we do value our children more than society did in that biblical time. But there are still ways in which Jesus comes to us to change the order of society, to turn things upside down. On World Communion Sunday, we're reminded of the privilege of worshiping in spirit with Christians around the world. We're reminded that no matter the color of your skin, the language you speak, the level of education you have, no matter your sexual orientation, your political persuasion, no matter any parameters society might put on you, if you claim the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you belong at this table. That is a different order than the world still practices. There are countries around the globe where boy children are more valuable than girl children, even to the point of practicing regularly abortions for unborn baby girls so that the mother can then hopefully conceive a baby boy. It is shocking and appalling to us, but a cultural reality in certain settings. In other places in the world, different people are valued for different reasons. Maybe it's a title you've earned or been given. Maybe it's the size or make and model of your pickup truck that impresses your neighbors. Maybe it's the color of your skin. In God's eyes, those that the world values least and places at the bottom of the heap are actually the ones to come to the top. And so if we happen to be born in a time and a place where we have some privilege, if we happen to be born into a family that can provide us physical comfort and education, and we realize we're called in Christ to belong as a sister or a brother to those who don't have the same privileges and blessings we have, it might turn our world upside down. We live in a society, even now, that struggles sometimes to value equally the voices of men and women, the voices of different cultures, the voices of those with different economic status. If Jesus were to come into our midst now and whistle again, "Everybody to the table, let's talk this out," I wonder who he would lift up as an example for us, a reminder of what it looks like to be a follower of the kingdom of God. Perhaps in our midst this morning, Jesus wouldn't choose one of the cute, precious little children that we already cherish and treasure. Perhaps instead, Jesus would choose a homeless vet with mental illness. and say to us, the kingdom of God belongs to him or her just as much as it does belong to you. Perhaps Jesus would look into my heart and would look into your heart and find that one person that you would just as soon not have sit next to you at the table. Surely there's somebody on your list, that short-tailed relative who annoys you, that person who talks a little too loud or a little too long, that one who volunteers for everything and does it in a way differently than you would, that coworker who always gets the spotlight, but you know who really does the work behind the scenes. Perhaps that is the person that Jesus would invite to the table today next to you. World Communion Sunday can be for us a humbling reminder that we're not the only ones at the table, that sometimes the Lord's table looks different. This morning, the table in front of us is spread with different flavors that you're invited to choose from. Around the world, on this day, there are people celebrating communion in different ways than we are, with different songs. Yet at the heart of the table for them, just as it is for us, is the living presence of Jesus Christ. When we come to the table, we come face to face with Jesus. And sometimes that is a comfort and a joy because we have felt beaten down and he lifts us up. Other times when we come face to face with our Lord, it is a challenge because we are forced to face our sins and realize that we in some way have put ourselves above God. We have shut out someone else who belongs at this table. We have looked down on someone who's different than we are. When we come to the Lord's table, especially on World Communion Sunday, we're reminded of the connections that we have with one another, not just in this place, but through all Christendom, throughout the world. After you come to the table today, you're invited to stop by one of the two prayer stations at the front of the sanctuary and choose a picture of a missionary to take with you, and then sit for a moment and hold that photo, read that person's name, study where they serve, and pray for them in the remaining moments of our communion time. It may be when you're standing at the table praying for missionaries that there's just a face of someone who catches your eye, and that's the person you pick up to pray. Or it may be that there's a description of ministry from a certain place in the world that speaks to your heart, and you want to pray for that ministry. There's a photo of Bruce Van Verhees, who's visited us here in Casper twice to talk about the work that he does in Hong Kong. There are people who serve in Africa and Asia and Latin America. On this World Communion Sunday, we lift them all up to the Lord. The ways in which our church does global ministries have evolved through the years. It used to be that we sent missionaries out into the world. In some ways, it was a bit of a paternalistic effort. It was kind of like big brother helping little sister. The white powerful country sending missionaries to the poor black countries. Well, in this day and age, we should really reverse that trend because Christianity is growing with fervor and energy in Latin America and Africa, much more so than in our own communities. Perhaps we need to receive missionaries from those places that are so filled with the Spirit of God that they'll change us. Even the terminology that our global ministries office uses has shifted somewhat. We still send missionaries, but now we call them mission co-workers. You see, it used to be the general church decided who to send where. Now they wait to hear from partner churches and organizations in other countries about what the need may be. One country needs a doctor or a nurse, another needs a social worker or a teacher. And then the Global Ministries Office, based in Indianapolis, looks for people who have those gifts, who can go and work side by side with someone in the mission field. Not because that is a place that has not heard of Jesus or God's love, but because that is a place where God is already at work, and we are invited to join them as co-workers. Perhaps it's possible that in our own congregation, there will be someone at some point who hears a call to be a co-worker in the mission field, to spend their time overseas, either as paid staff or a volunteer. The photos of the missionaries ahead of us this morning are those who are on staff placements, a paid position, typically for a 3-year term. But there are also long-term volunteers who serve in overseas ministry. There are retired people from across the United States and Canada who have a lifelong experience and skills that they can give and share, who go voluntarily with simply a stipend to cover travel, to work alongside someone in another country. It's interesting that if you ever have the opportunity to go on a mission trip, whether it's short-term or a long-term volunteer position, you learn and receive as much or even far more than those people who've invited you to supposedly help them. It's not so much that one group has all the answers and all the resources to give to another, but that we are partners together. All of this comes before us at the table on World Communion Sunday to remind us that each and every one of us is called to be a co-worker with God in the mission field of Casper, Wyoming, as well as far reaches of the globe. This morning, you're invited to open your heart to the presence of God's love, revealed in different ways, in different languages and colors and flavors, as you come to the table and choose the bread and the beverage of your choice to partake. If you prefer not to come forward to the communion table, we will have two deacons with trays walking down the side aisles who will serve you in your pews. The Lord's table is open to all who believe in Jesus Christ. The invitation is given to all of God's children. We live different lives, but we are woven together in the Lord. Our communion hymn today is number 424. I'm going to eat at the welcome table. It's a traditional spiritual that we'll sing together as we prepare to share the Lord's Supper.
He took a loaf of bread, and having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray.
Holy God, I like to think of our faith in the metaphor of a tree. We are rooted deep in the fertile soil of your word and in the supporting presence of those who have come before us. We reach high in faith to a future we do not know, but with sunlight that helps us grow. And Lord, we also reach out to one another. As we come to communion today, worldwide, help us remember that each of those hands that reaches out holds your body and your blood, which you give us and which we bring to each other, so that there may be unity in your garden. In Jesus' name, amen.
God of grace, it is our delight and our devotion to give you these gifts. All we are and all we have are yours alone. Accept this joyful offering as a token of our abiding love. Use it to bring peace, justice, and comfort to all around the world. Amen.
This Sunday and next, we are sharing in the reconciliation special offering. There are envelopes available in the pew rack in front of you if you would like to take an envelope and pray about what you would like to give. The reconciliation ministries help our denomination to be pro-reconciling and anti-racist around the world. Our hymn of dedication today is number 538, Hope of the World. If there's anyone here this morning looking for a church home, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of 538. For our benediction today, I invite us to share in a tradition that comes from Cuba. Elena Regal is one of our mission co-workers who has spent time in Cuba. She currently is serving in Haiti. One of the churches there has the practice of, for the benediction, every member in the congregation lightly places their hand on the shoulder of the person next to them. I know we're kind of spread out, but I would invite you to take your right hand and gently place it on the shoulder of the person next to you or the person in front of you if you're at the end of a pew, or to reach out and kind of give an air blessing. A raised hand is a sign of God's blessing. And in the congregation where they share this tradition, every member of the church offers a blessing to one another, and this is the blessing that they give. May God prosper you. May your days be long and your nights serene. May your friendships honor you and your family love you. May you eat at your table and may you be gathered into God's embrace with a smile. Amen. Amen. May we go in love to serve the Lord.